Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't. But success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart and join me. You'll be glad you did. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having it.
Oh, yes, and I am very excited about talking with you about the topic and hearing what you have to say. And I know our listeners are. I was really working hard to get you on.
Thank you.
Let's start by you just telling us a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, my name is Freddie Zintal Weaver. Zintal is my teacher name. I gave myself that name about 4 years ago. It's the embodiment of the best of what I teach and share in the work that I do here at Tantra Nova Institute, which I'm a co-director and facilitator of with my partner, Elspeth Moit, Dr. Moit. What we do here at the Tantra Nova Institute for the last 9 years here in Chicago is teach practices of Tantra Nova, which is an integration of some age-old practices of Tantra, which is one of the original yogas of the energetic body, and practices that are more familiar in the West in terms of transformation and personal growth, like human development and generative language, how we create our reality and language, and creative self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with people in learning how to use this primordial energy, and particularly accessing it through the sexual energy, as a way to enliven and also bring more joy and creative happiness in the rest of their life.
Yeah, and that is so much needed, especially nowadays, with the way things are now. And
yeah.
That's part of why I want to talk about, because we are in a different world today, and our young people are growing up in the same world that we're in, which is quite different from when we grew up, regardless.
Yeah.
The roles between men and women, they're not as defined.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information that's being pummeled into our children, into their brains and things about sexuality, about being a man, about being a guy, about all of that.
Yes.
So that's why I wanted to have the show and to have some people on, someone on who can combat that in some way, start a different conversation going in our communities and in our homes.
Yes.
And even empower people who are at home and thinking that they're by themselves and everybody else thinks this way except us.
Mm-hmm.
Empower people.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a few questions that I'd like to ask, and anything that you want to throw in as well, please feel free, because we have as much time as we can take. We can take up to 2 hours if we need to.
Okay.
So I really want to cover this topic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'd like to ask is, does what a man does sexually, does that define him as a man?
Well, I don't know if that's, you know, in some respects the definition of a man is the all-encompassing aspects of his, you know, physical self, sexual self, you know, spiritual, emotional self. But, you know, it's funny because when you look at the connection that we all are, and you look at, let's say, human life when it's in the womb and it's a zygote, it's androgynous, it's male, it's female.
Absolutely.
And then it's decided somehow, male or female. And then when we grow, we have, even as full adults, aspects of testosterone and estrogen. And as we get older, the whole process reverses itself. You know, men grow breasts and women grow hair on their faces. So how do we as, you know, and the question is regarding men, how do we as men integrate this masculine-feminine dynamic? There's a time now that there is a new man, and the new man looks a little like Barack Obama, where you've got someone who really is connected to the masculine aspect of their groundedness and also integrated the feminine nature in terms of the nurturing and the listening and the inner introspection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important part if we're to continue to exist as humanity, whether you're male or you're female.
That's so true. I'm thinking a lot about the thug mentality, and some people call it the urban culture, where young men are encouraged and taught that they need to squash their feelings and, you know, be hard and not really be in touch with who they are or even try to find out who they are. So that's a very good thing to be able to integrate, because we all have our vulnerable side and we have our strong strengths as well. And it doesn't make sense to teach one aspect of humanity not to honor both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And also, part of what was behind my question was around the whole debate about sexuality, gay and lesbian and straight and all of that. I would like to see us get beyond that and start to look at the person and the human being and what kind of soul and what kind of person is that person, regardless of orientation. Because sexuality, as long as you're not violating anyone, you're pretty safe. There's only so much you can do, right?
Exactly.
If you are really respectful of another person.
I'm getting a lot of static on my end. I don't know if you're hearing it, but
no, I'm not.
Okay.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Good. At least your viewers aren't hearing it. Good.
Hopefully they're not. I hope not. This is the second show I've had trouble with Blog Talk Radio, so I'm going to have a little talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you coach people who are in relationships.
Yeah, we work with a lot of couples and individuals in the area of intimacy. And they come for a variety of reasons, you know, some because the sex has died off, some because it's too much, and some because the sex is okay, but there's something missing.
Mm.
What we work with, and one of the interesting aspects of how we work with people, is accessing that intimate connection through what we call the intelligence of sex, which is that creativity and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Which we feel when we're in that sexual energy. So, we do a lot of work with couples, and it's interesting to see how the practices that we teach can really assist not only more fun in the bedroom, but actually shift the whole way we listen and the way we connect with ourselves and with life and people in our life outside of the bedroom.
Yes. We do bring who we are to the bedroom, that's for sure. One of the things I want to do is talk about some concrete things. About specifically men,
mm-hmm.
What it means today to be a man. What does that mean? I can go back to when I was growing up, and if you said I'm a man, certain things would come up into your mind. You could maybe even draw a picture or whatever. But I think now, today, things are very blurred, and I think in a lot of ways that's a good thing. Because we're not put in these really hard boxes. But there are also some things that make us different between men and women.
Yes.
Right? So I'd like to give our listeners some concrete things about what it means today to be a man.
Mm. Well, a man is definitely grounded in his masculinity as it pertains to security, to integrity, strength, physical embodiment, emotional integration, and emotionally accessible. That's the big piece.
Hmm.
Because, as you said, men today are what's called urbanism. Hold your mud, don't show your feelings, be hard, and all of that. That's not just urbanism. That is the way men have been taught for millennia.
Hmm.
And physically we're just denser, you know. Physically, we aren't integrated in terms of our brain synapses Whereas the woman is integrated to listen internally because, you know, she's designed to have the baby. And so for the man, everything's outside, you know. Mm-hmm. Reality is outside. So as we become more sophisticated and more integrated with the rest of the universe, we can see now that we can have a, you know, write a blog and 1,000 people, you know what we were thinking 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Just as we could think to move our hand and the nerve synapses and the muscle, you know, systems all work together automatically and happen. So we're evolving and starting to connect the totality. So I think what it means to be a man is to connect the totality of, you know, who we are physically and create and nurture and develop more capacity for emotional vulnerability and accessibility,
mm-hmm.
which might be considered more of a feminine trait. But I think what we're seeing in the world certainly is we're seeing, you know, women take on more what was a masculine role and men take on more of what was a feminine role. And now there's becoming more of an androgynous reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for men to really get how they can integrate that emotional accessibility and vulnerability. That's important.
That's very important. I'm thinking about our young boys. I don't think my daughter would mind if I say this, but I have a grandson who he went through this phase that I think a lot of little boys around 2-3 years old go through, where they experiment in different things, and he really, really enjoyed walking in high heels.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was raised by me, so she just took it in stride.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out of it now. I think he's about 5 or 6 years old, and that was just a phase
sure.
that he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
How can we empower our little boys? What can we say to the mothers and fathers out there who are really up against a huge, huge wall of information, of opposite communications, of in the schools, everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
How can we empower those parents who maybe want to give their sons and their daughters? Because when we free up one half of humanity, we free up the other half.
Mm-hmm.
This show is focusing on men, but what can we do to empower them to hold on to something or give them some information that will help them let the little boys be little boys and not try to make them little men or push them into a role?
Sure, sure. I think it really boils down to all of us, you know, men, women, boys, girls, fathers, mothers, to begin to handle our own anxiety
mm.
about what we would like, what we think should be, what we wish, what we hope, and all of that. And really be with what is. And that's difficult because the way our minds work, our minds have for millennia been working out and figuring out the universe, you know.
Mm.
And the mind, if you know, can only exist if it has a problem to solve, you know. So, and if we don't have a problem to solve, we just invent one out of our unconscious or, you know, old story or socialized learning. So it's important for all of us as individuals. And the best thing we can do as individuals and teach our children is how to develop more capacity for stillness.
Mm. Mm.
The meditative practices, whatever that might be for one, whatever works for one to find quiet and stillness, can allow us to be present to what's so and start to be an observer, if you will, or a witness, if you will, to this anxiety that now makes the father or the mother start to worry because the boy is wearing high heels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he or she is going to be who they're going to be, and God bless them, but they live to be an old, ripe age and have a happy life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and contribute
mm-hmm.
in the world. That's all any of us can do.
Mm-hmm.
So all the rest of it is story and, you know, anxiety. So that's what I would say is that to find a practice that works for them to begin to be able to be with their children in an empowering way, meaning that you aren't pushing them one way or the other, but listening to what and observing what and who they are, you know.
Wow, that is so, so important. And our culture is so anti-stillness. We are constantly filling up the silence
mm-hmm.
with iPods, with
mm-hmm.
television, with whatever.
Yes.
We're constantly filling it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it, I think you touched on, I think part of it is because we, if we are still, we are with ourselves.
Yes, yes. And it's not to diminish the, you know, the benefits that all of these electronics and all the everything that's available in the world, travel and all the everything,
mm-hmm.
not to diminish that, but yet to be able to truly enjoy any of it, one has to be able to be with it. And, you know, it's very rare that we are right here, right now, because that really requires the mind being right here, right now. And that's not the nature of the mind, you know,
no,
at least the left brain anyway.
That is so true. I'm reading something about that combines the development of the brain and with the development of religion, and it's a fascinating reading.
Mm.
It really is, the connections that are there. Yeah.
So one of the things that we do at Tantra Nova is we, whatever someone comes here to work on or sees as an issue or wants to get past or through or, you know, set as an intention when they come here, we listen and we teach these practices. There are a lot of approaches to transformation. You know, you can do therapy, you can, you know, go to religion, you can do different spiritual practices, you can do a lot of things, but very few and none that I know of really teach ways and practices that you can draw on and learn how to come back to and build more capacity for stillness by using and tapping into our sexual energy.
Hmm.
And that's what these practices are here at Tantra Nova. And that's what's unique about them, because whether you're prescribed to this or not, when we are in our sexual energy, we are as open, loving, vulnerable, and receptive as we will probably ever experience in this physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can learn practices of consciousness, focus, and awareness while in that energy, what happens is the elements of that energy, creativity and joy, start to show up in areas of our life that seem completely unrelated to sex, like where we work, how we, you know, do our work, the people we're around, where we live. The default listening starts to shift from the left, you know, left brain sort of rationalized suffering mind, like, you know, well, I hate my job, but what am I going to do,
mm-hmm.
to what would I like to do, and how does it feel? We start listening differently, mm-hmm. and we start moving, you know, with more courage, if you will, towards that possibility of creativity and joy,
mm-hmm.
in life.
Well, do you do any individual? Because one of the things that I know is if you're not listening to yourself, you can't listen to someone else.
Because
you're not able to listen to yourself, which is sometimes harder to do. So how do you talk to the individuals and help them learn how to listen to themselves, actually listen and hear and take it in,
mm-hmm.
even if it's something that they don't want to hear?
Yeah. Well, one of the practices that we teach as part of everything and one of the fundamental, you know, practices is breathing. And the type of breathing that we teach them is parasympathetic breathing. So we have them start to bring their awareness to and focus to the breath coming into the nose, down the trachea, into the lungs, and extending the belly as they inhale like a big balloon, like they were playing Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And on the exhalation, flattening the belly. And what happens is it makes you very present to your breathing, which we do all the time but rarely present to.
Mm-hmm.
And the parasympathetic breathing oxygenates more efficiently, releases endorphins, which are like immune enhancers, feel good. And for most people, we're able to do that for about 3 breaths before our mind gets busy. But in a regular practice of that type of breathing, what happens is we start to build more capacity to be present to a rise and fall of our belly for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in remembering that that we can begin to start to be sensitive to things like anxiety or the things that are upsetting or that shift that energy. And it doesn't make it go away, but it makes us present to a way to start to handle it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've been told that, you know, just take 10 breaths, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And one of the things that I like what you do and what you just said about this is the fact that you bring up what is causing us distress, whatever it is. because that's what cuts us off. When we're having a great time and everything's going the way we want it or the way we think we want it, that's not when we're in trouble. When we're started, when we're pushing things down and we don't know exactly what's wrong, that's what cuts us off from ourselves and from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think more people are doing that, cutting off, because when you cut that off, you have to cut part of yourself off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cut part of yourself off, you cut other people out.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like what you do as far as helping people get in touch with themselves.
Yes.
And from there, dealing with whatever it is, because that's the other half of it. That's
yes.
why we push a lot of things down, because we don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So do you, can this, I'm thinking about gays and lesbians and trans people more now than usual, which is, I would have to say, a lot since I'm lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But the conversation is just all over as far as religion and church and all of that.
Yes.
Where does this sit in, for instance, a gay lifestyle or a lesbian trans lifestyle?
Oh, sure. And, you know, just a little background. About 3 years ago, my partner and I were featured on a Showtime special, a 9-episode Showtime special called Sexual Healing.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Laura Berman, who's a sex therapist, kind of a, you know, personality therapist. She's on Oprah a lot, and, you know, a lot of the, she's a contributing editor on a lot of shows on TV. She asked us to be on the show. On the show, we worked with 24 couples over 9 weeks, and we had a lesbian couple and a gay male couple. And what's interesting, as I mentioned earlier in your interview with me, that we are androgynous, you know, and even in a male-male relationship or a female-female relationship, you know, either one's more male or one's more female, or it switches back and forth. You know, and it's the same thing in a heterosexual relationship as well. You know, sometimes the male is more male, and sometimes he's more female, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of the roles and energy.
Yeah.
So what we teach is applicable to, just to answer your question, you know, a lesbian relationship or a male gay relationship or heterosexual, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's humanity, you know, so these practices work no matter what your, you know, sexual preferences are.
Well, that's good, because that tells me that you're not just one more group putting people in boxes like so many places do.
Yeah.
Get in this box over here. Or you have to leave.
Yeah, that's part of the mind, you know, kind of trying to make sense of everything or trying to organize things from a survival standpoint.
Yeah. I tell people they need to get out of their reptilian brain when they get there. Let's move into the higher level. But it is part of being human, and that's part of what we need to be aware of in ourselves, because we all want to find the order. Where is the pattern?
Yes.
Where do I fit in the pattern? And that's why I think it causes a lot of people anxiety, tremendous anxiety, when they can't find the pattern, or they don't know what the pattern is, or they're told that they don't belong in the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's so central to who we are.
Yes.
Yeah. Any thoughts about the schools? Because one of the things that we're struggling with, as you know, in Chicago, Illinois, is tremendous violence in among the children in school.
Yeah.
If you don't fit in, then you're a target. And it's not just being picked on and called names. It's you could get killed.
Yeah.
And some do.
Yeah.
So how do you see teachers moving in this direction?
Mm-hmm. We actually started a youth program this year, this summer actually, and we had 13, and then we wound up with 10. And what was really fascinating with these youth and teaching these practices, and their ages, I think 17 to 18, was to see for the first time that they could begin to separate out their feelings from old past experiences and develop this, what we called earlier, what I mentioned earlier, the observer or the witness.
Mm-hmm.
And more of these type of practices, again, need to be taught in schools so that people can start to separate out a lot of that survival, angry, upset, adversarial, you know, consciousness. But, you know, what we see in the schools and with the kids is what they're learning on TV and what they're seeing in the news. I mean, just look at Iraq. Look at the world. There's war. Look at the Palestinians and the Israelis. I mean,
yeah.
Every corner of the globe, you know, the Hutus and the Tutsis. I mean, there's just fighting and what the schools, what we see is just an extension of the rest of the world.
Yeah, and their homes sometimes.
And their homes, yeah. So until we start changing as adults, we can't expect the kids to be any different.
I know.
It's
like a cycle. You're right.
You know, I mean, we see, you know, gay bashing. We see all kinds of craziness everywhere. And it does require, you know, courage for adults to step up and make those kinds of programs, these kinds of programs that we did, available to schools. And we're hoping we can adjust our program so that it can be rolled out on a national or on a school, you know, by school basis, because
mm-hmm.
we really saw how these kids were able to use these practices to begin to separate out a lot of what might be detrimental behavior for them.
Mm-hmm. And put them at risk for all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Because nowadays, you know, it used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago, we had to worry about the police and the sheriff lynching. Now we have to worry about our kids being killed by our neighbor's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it seems to be getting worse and worse in the major cities and not major.
Mm-hmm.
All of our kids are at risk for this. And right now, it's the end of it is not clear to me. That's part of why I'm doing this, because I really think we need to do things differently. And I don't see a lot of leadership in that way. We seem to be doing the same thing, looking for a different result.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that's called sometimes. It's
mm-hmm.
insanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's again, you know, it's in our thinking. So if we really see that the glass is half full and there's a possibility for peace
mm-hmm.
and we all do what we can, then, you know, changes start to happen.
Yeah.
So don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like, oh my God, and we keep perpetuating the thought of this and that it's hopeless, and then, you know, sure enough, you know, that's what we see and that's what keeps, you know, manifesting. So we each do make a difference, and I think I do feel that there's a lot of possibility happening in the world too. And I think one of the things with like the program we did this summer and what we're seeing with Barack Obama and in the country, it's definitely, we're at a loggerhead right now in the world and in America. We really are at a critical juncture in terms
mm-hmm.
of a really fundamental consciousness shift.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a wonderful time, I think, and, you know, it's a little upheaval-like, but I think a lot of what we're seeing, like the violence with the kids in schools, can and will shift with people doing work like you're doing, what we're doing, and there's so many other people who are waiting to be interviewed by you who I'm sure are doing good work as well.
Yeah. One of the things I like to tell people everywhere I go is to there's one little experiment that I always encourage people to do, and that's to when they're in a traffic jam and traffic is like bottled up, and for instance, there's a lane that's closing and everybody's moving to the left or to the right, and you're in the lane that's that everybody's trying to get into. We've all seen where people nudge and get right on the bumper of the other person, so nobody will get in front of me. And I said, just let the other person in. Let one car in. And
mm-hmm.
watch in the rearview mirror, because you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So look in the rearview mirror and see how that changes. The energy that you put out
absolutely
makes a difference. And that's what I want people to understand, and that's why I do these shows, because that just the smallest little thing that one person does sends out energy,
mm-hmm.
just like you said.
Yep.
And you can get in a mindset, and whatever your mind is set for, that's what you send out, and that's what you pick up.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. I've seen that exact thing happen where, you know, someone's trying to get in, or when I look back and I let someone in, and then other people begin to get the feeling of it. But, you know, what's interesting is that whole idea of what we're talking about is always the way it's been, but we're starting to become evolved enough to really get that, you know, there's this whole gestalt or this whole quantum field, mm-hmm. and it's all energy. We're just physically a denser form of it,
mm-hmm.
and that thought has an energy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we we don't think that, well, we could have a thought that could actually change something, but it all starts with a thought. Even if I'm going to build a building, I have to think, dream of it, and then I have to do the blueprints, and then I go do the physical bricks and mortars of it.
Exactly.
But even just the thought, like you said, of a positive thought, when you're focused enough, can shift actions
mm-hmm.
and can shift the way we perceive what might be a random reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's in that that we can begin to really start to shift things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like if enough people believed that there was peace in schools, we would have peace in schools. There would be more people who would start doing things that were peaceful, that would promote peace. And just energetically, it would become just not something you would do in terms of violence in schools.
Exactly. Look at what we did with smoking.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
Just think about it. Yeah. We recently went to Amsterdam, and it reminded me of the way things were decades ago. Everywhere you went, people were smoking and things like that. But it was really striking because we have really changed things around in a few decades about smoking. So
totally.
That it started with thought.
With a thought.
How people think.
And it's not just all physical. I mean, you know, just even a thought. Like there was an experiment done in, I can't quote exactly where you can find this experiment, but it was a group of, I think, 25 highly evolved meditative monks. And they went to Washington, D.C. at the highest time in crime. It was a
mm-hmm.
certain time of the year where the crime rate really goes up. And they were going to meditate on peace, and they guaranteed to drop the percentage of crime 25%. And they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just by focusing for a period of 24 hours on peace in this particular period of time, and they were able to drop the crime rate 25%.
Yeah.
You know, the quantum physicists have a theory called string theory, different from particle theory, and states that all physical matter is connected by string vibration,
mm-hmm.
which is just more physical proof that it's all connected at the subatomic level all the way up through this dimension, through the ad infinitum of the cosmos. There is a connection. And as we evolve, we'll begin to see ourselves in each other and begin to treat other children as our own, and only then is it possible to have world peace.
Yeah.
But you can see the kind of quantum shifts that have to happen for that, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tantra Nova, one of the ways we're teaching is to really learn to draw on the sexual energy, because it's so much fun anyway. And it's so abundant, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with anyone else. It's about getting, you know, what that energy is and how you can draw on it, even in its most subtle forms.
Yeah.
I believe that there's a wonderful shift that's possible that we're heading towards in the world. It's just part of our natural evolving process. And, you know, we're in it right now. And what you're doing with your show is part of it, and what we're doing at Tantra Nova is part of it, and what, you know, Barack Obama is doing, and so many thousands of other people, hundreds of thousands of other people in the world are doing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up a little bit. Any last thoughts you want to leave people with?
Just to be hopeful and to see where they can make a difference in their life and the lives of people in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to develop some practices of introspection and stillness, whatever is that is for them, walking in the park regularly, working out, running, you know.
It makes a difference. It does.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. And like you just touched on something. You don't have to sit and look at your navel. You can get out and run.
That's
or
right.
Or you can just walk. Or
sometimes
playing with your kid. You know,
oh,
that
my
can
God.
That can be your still time.
That can be a wonderful thing.
And that can
time.
Be a way, whatever connects you in a positive way. Definitely.
Yes.
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 So how can people get in touch with you?
They can go to our website at tantranova.com. That's TANTRANOV, like Victor A.com. That's tantranova.com.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number is 773-525-5006. Mm-hmm. And my name is Freddie Zental Weaver, and my partner's name is Elsbeth Moit, Dr. Moit.
Mm-hmm.
And we do monthly introduction workshops. We do seminars here in Chicago at our center and around the country. I also do a one-man show called Tantra Nova Man, and that's playing around the country and also here in Chicago. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and Tantra Nova Man sounds interesting. All of it does, actually.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see you at something soon, too.
Oh, yeah, well, you know where I am.
Yeah, well, we'll keep you posted that you can break away, hopefully, and come to something.
And thanks again for hanging in there with the technical difficulties.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate that.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Deborah.
All right. Great talking with you.
Yeah, you're doing great work. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Good night.
That's all I have for today. Until next time. This is All the Way In from Chicago. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember to live all the way in your life. Until next time, stay connected. Visit DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise.